So let's go ahead and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, we just think of these prayer requests that we have. Lord, we think of Ross. He's getting ready in a couple weeks to go through a procedure to get rid of a cancerous tumor. We know they can't cut it out. They have to do a freezing procedure, and you just pray that you would be with the physicians as they try to do that, guide their hands, guide their lasers or equipment. Help Ross to know we're praying for him constantly, and we love him, and we hope he's getting better. Lord, we think of Carol as she continues to adjust her medications. Lord, we think of Carrie, who has been such a blessing to many of us over so many years. We know she's slowing down her eating at the rest home, and Lord, we just pray that you would be with her, help her to know we're thinking of her. Lord, we also thank you for Pastor and Sharon as they rest and they get refreshed. We just pray that you would continue to be a blessing to them and help us to continue to be a blessing to them. Lord, we want to thank you for praises. We thank you for George. He's getting stronger after they found an underlying condition he wasn't aware of that was making him sick. We thank you for healing with that. Lord, we think of Helen, that she's here again, that she's feeling a lot better after her back surgery. It's good to see her walking around. We thank you for meeting our needs, for forgiving us when we fall, for being in control despite all the chaos that's going around us that we deal with every day. And we love you, and we thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody here remember Phyllis? I remember Phyllis. My little one-minute story of Phyllis was, I remember when we first started coming here and Tommy was first born, Phyllis and Betty brought us a meal, and that was the first time I ever met Phyllis. So she's always very sweet, helpful. You know, we all miss her. But on the bright side, like Betty said, we all know she's in heaven, and that's a great thing. So we're going to see her again, and next time we see her, we'll get to see her forever. So that would be pretty cool. So we have been talking about, in Luke, the passages earlier that Dan and Fred talked about are from Luke. As I mentioned when we first started this, Luke is a book about relationships. Its main focus when it talks about Jesus is his aspect of Jesus our brother. It talks about family, the church, everything that does with relationships. You have the prodigal son in here. We're talking about how to speak to our father. So this is all family interrelationship things. And the first week we talked about the foundation of every healthy relationship is genuine repentance. Then we saw the temptations of Christ, how they actually tell us how to avoid things that harm our relationships. Then we saw the great benefits God has great things for us to accomplish. And today we're going to talk, we've been talking kind of about marriages and friendships and stuff like that, and God is our friend. That's ultimately the case. But today, instead of focusing on like marriage and things like that, we're going to actually talk about God himself. Now, that's going to be our main focus. So we are on, as you can see up there on the board, Luke 11, and we are going to read 9 through 13. And let's see here. So let's go ahead and read that. So I say to you, before I do that, why don't everybody stand up for a second? Stretch your legs. I know my legs get tired. So just stretch your legs. Everybody kind of relax a little bit. You know, Beth's over here doing calisthenics. You know, you can get the blood flowing. So everybody stretch your legs a little bit. Okay, go ahead. You can go ahead and have a seat. You know, I forgot to do that the first couple weeks, and that's a long time to be sitting like that. So verse 9 in Luke 11. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So, God gives the best gifts. That's kind of what we're going to talk about today. We talked about how to ask for those gifts, the importance of being persistent. And, you know, in talking of prayer, good communication is vital in any relationship, isn't it? What's like the big thing that you hear if you go to a marriage counseling session because people are having problems? It's because he doesn't understand me, or she doesn't understand me. He doesn't listen to me. She doesn't listen to me. That's the number one thing. Anybody practice your homework the last time? I said that for your homework for the week was to learn to listen to someone else instead of doing all the talking. Anybody practice that? I've been practicing that. So keep working on that. So Fred already talked about how Jesus wanted us to pray. And as you'll find out, he actually stole some of my thunder. He talked about some of the stuff I'm going to talk about, but it's good to rehash it. But the prayer should be centered on God's greatness, his will, meeting our needs, and forgiveness for us, and also for us to forgive others, to show mercy. Dan has also already spoken to the need for persistence in prayer. Kind of reminds me of a story. And so first we're going to find out, though, what all this asking, seeking, knocking is out. What's knocking about? What's it all about? And what it does is, first thing, I want us to look at asking. So what is asking? Asking is about prayer. That's simply what asking is. It's talking to each other. You talk to your friends, right? Every day. I know I talk to my friends. People say I talk too much. That's why I'm working on listening. But that's what prayer is. It's basically talking to each other, us talking to God. So, this reminds me of a story. We were talking about Dan and him talking about persistence. When I was a child, does anybody remember this toy from when I was probably about 10, 11 years old? It's called Stretch Armstrong. I had to have that toy. I was like 10, 11 years old somewhere in there, and I had to have that toy. I didn't ask for anything else for Christmas. I didn't care if I got anything else for Christmas. I wanted this toy. Christmas morning comes. I'm all excited. Yes, I'm going to get my Stretch Armstrong. Open up all the presents. There was no Stretch Armstrong. What in the world? I have a good mom. My mom was a single mom. What happened? It was persistence. So my mom told my wife this story later on, before we got married, because this thing had a revival and came out when I was in my late 20s. It was pretty cool. So I'm like, hey, that's cool, that came out. So I started telling people, yeah, that's funny, that came out. I'd see a commercial. I really wanted that thing, and I never got it. I really would tell this person and see the commercial, yeah, I really wanted one of those when I was a kid, but I never got it. Well, she told Becky a story. She said, you know, Tom was never one to ask for much. He would ask once, maybe twice, and if I didn't hear him, he didn't get it. My sister, on the other hand, Trisha, she would ask over and over and over, and my mom would finally give in and say, just get off my back, here it is. So, but because I had told all these people without trying to be persistent, just saying, we'd see a commercial, hey, that's kind of cool, look at that. I wanted one of those that didn't get it. And then I told my mom, yeah, hey, they got those Stretch Armstrongs out. I always wanted those when I was a kid. What do you think I got that Christmas when these things came out just before Christmas? And I'm like almost 30 years old. I got about 8 Stretch Armstrongs. I had Stretch Armstrong key chains, ties, 2 or 3 of these. I had miniature ones, you name it, I had them. Because I was persistent. Was it the wisest gift to give me? No, it was out of fun. But persistence can pay off. So how important is asking? Well, there's several verses in Scripture that tell us the importance of asking. In Deuteronomy 13:14, it says, then you shall inquire, search out, and ask diligently. Joshua 9:14 contrasts that. Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask the counsel of the Lord. That ended up causing them all kinds of problems because they were supposed to drive all the Gentiles out of the land. God did not want them learning about their false gods. Well, they ended up not doing that, not seeking God's counsel. They
listened to these people. They ended up doing a treaty with them. And this is where a lot of the false idols they learned about came from, was from these people. It says that in 1 Kings 3:5, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" Anybody remember what he asked for? Wisdom. And he gave it, right? Isaiah 7:11 to 12. Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above." Now, he ended up not asking God. He thought God was testing him, and he didn't feel he should do that. But that's not really what God wanted to do. He said, "I really want you to ask me." And he did. Because God answers prayer. In Jeremiah 33:3, it says, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." Psalm 116:1-2, somebody who knew that God answered prayer said, "I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live." How many of us, sometimes, at least one time in our life, have felt like people weren't listening to us? How lonely you felt. If this person said, "I love God, I know he cares about me, he listens to what I have to say." That's why it's so important to practice that listening. So you become invested in that person and they know that you truly do care about them. John 14:13, "Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." I think Dan mentioned that one earlier. Acts 8:34, "So the eunuch answered Philip and said, 'I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this?'" He was reading Isaiah. He was seeking and knocking. He was reading scripture that foretold of Jesus, and God answered him through Philip. Ephesians 3:20, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to be honest with him. He wants us to tell him our desires, our dreams, just like you tell your friends. You ever tell your friends, "Hey, I really want to do this. I think this would be really cool. I'd really like to have that." God wants to know those things. He already knows those things, but he wants you to tell him, because that's part of a relationship, as you talk to each other. So, seeking. What's seeking about? Seeking is Bible study. It's seeking who God is and knowing what his will is. In Deuteronomy 4:29, it says, "But from there, you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul." In 1 Chronicles 16:10, "Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord." It says in 2 Chronicles that he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment. So how hard are we to seek the Lord? Also says in 2 Chronicles, the Bible says, with all our heart and with all our soul. We're supposed to seek with all our might, everything we have. This should be important to us. How often do we seek and find things that we're interested in? I like cross-country skiing. Not very good at it, but I like it. So how often do you think I look up articles, videos, and stuff where I can become a little bit better at cross-country skiing? Not because I plan on going to the Olympics, because I don't want to kill myself going down the hill. Okay? But I look that stuff out. Tommy now is learning drones in his homeschooling project. He just got a drone for his birthday. And he reads about them, and he looks up videos, and he can tell you all kinds of stuff about them because he's interested in them. How much interest do you have in God? Do you spend time searching to see who God is? That's part of why he wants you to do that, to see. It shows that you're interested in him, because you are interested in something. It's just a matter of what is it. The dangers of not seeking what God has to say. Rehoboam, Solomon's son, after he was set up with this great kingdom to run, he didn't do so well. It said, and he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Asa was a good king. He didn't get better. He was sick, and he didn't get better because he didn't seek the Lord. where it says the opposite about Jehoshaphat. Because he sought the Lord, God was with him, and he did not follow the false gods of his day. So what's knocking about? Knocking is about fellowship. One thing it's about fellowship. We see this, he's knocking on the door here, Revelation 3:20. Behold, look and see, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. God wants, that's the thing of friendship. I don't just go to somebody's house and walk in, I knock, even though they're my friend and I know them. It's he's going, hey, I want to come be your friend, I want to come fellowship with you, I want to spend time with you. God wants us to spend time with him, talking to him and studying the Bible. And he's telling you, I want to spend time with you. Communion, it's all about fellowship with God and with each other. When we have communion next week, we're remembering what God did with us, for us. But we're also remembering that now we're all family and we can depend on each other. That it's not just me that I'm a friend with God, I'm a friend with all of you. This is out of Luke 24. It's a picture I found when I Googled Road to Emmaus. Everybody, most of us familiar with that story at least, right? It's after Jesus is risen again. And they're walking and have a conversation with Jesus. They do not understand that this is actually Jesus at the time. They just think they're having a stranger. There's this big commotion going on. They thought Jesus was the Messiah. He was coming to save the day, and now he's dead, and they're just all confused. Not realizing Jesus is alive and he's walking right with them. They're asking, he actually started asking them questions. Why are you guys so sad, basically? And they're asking questions and they're talking and they're saying how they feel, how their confusion. And suddenly they start getting answers from the stranger. He's telling them scripture. Well, don't you remember he said, da 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 da. And don't you remember Jesus said, da 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 da. And then they said, you know, we really like talking with this guy. Why don't you come stay with us? Fellowship. It was their form of knocking. They allowed Jesus to fellowship with them. Then suddenly, it says, their eyes were opened. Remember, it says, knock and it shall be opened to you. Here they are, they knock. In a sense, come spend time with us. God opens their eyes. Oh man, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. Can you believe it? This is Jesus. And then he vanishes. Come back later. But it gave them a chance to talk about it. And they said on verse 32, and it's Luke 24, did our hearts not burn within us when we talked, when he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us? Besides fellowship, the fellowship aspect of knocking is meditating on the scriptures. We ask, we pray, we seek, we read the Bible, and knocking is meditating. I'm going to think about this and think about this until God shows me what he wants me to see. So, let's read verses 11 to 13 again. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, notice he's calling us evil, he's telling us our nature as parents, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? When I was preparing for this, I came upon a commentary, Matthew Henry. Matthew Henry wrote that parents desire to grant their kids' requests when they are natural and proper. We see this even in evil parents giving good gifts to their children. Here's a guy right here, playing the good dad, loving his kids, got the fishing pole. I remember I always wanted my dad to take me fishing. You know, he did every once in a while. Spending time hugging his wife, being a good dad, good husband. There's only one problem. Anybody know who this guy is? He's Himmler. He was the head of the Nazi Gestapo. He was the head of their secret police. He rounded up innocent people, had them tortured, murdered, separated from their families, did all kinds of despicable war crimes. Yet here he is, hugging his wife, spending time with his kids. Murderer by day, good dad by night. And how do we know that's the impact he had on his kids? Because I think it was last year, was it 2015, was the 70th anniversary of the end of the war, and his daughter is still alive, one of them at least. And here's a picture of her with him, and she said, "My dad is not a monster." So even evil men can do good things for their kids. And he says that. So, in this we saw that there was the bread versus the stone, the fish versus the serpent, and the eggs and the scorpion. The bread, fish, and eggs were regular staples in biblical time of Israel. But there's more to it than just bringing up those three items. In fact, when I looked up egg, it's the only time it's mentioned in all the New Testament. It's mentioned a couple times in the Old Testament. But there's more to it. Jesus mentions these specific items on purpose. He's trying to contrast between God's good intent and Satan's evil intent. How do we know this? Well, because he's bringing us back to things that happened earlier in Luke for them in their ministry, since Luke wasn't written yet. We had the value of at least hindsight. So we have the bread versus stone. We talked about that a few weeks ago when we were talking about the temptations. God gives you something you can eat. Bread, something that will sustain you. He meets your needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Yet Satan, he'll allure you, but will only deliver a stone. There's no nourishment in a stone. In fact, it's cold, hard, and heartless. Jesus is saying, "I am the bread of life. I'm here to nourish you. Satan is not. He may deceive you, as we're going to see very quickly here." How many remember a couple weeks ago we talked about this story? God wants you to accomplish amazing things. Things you had no idea about. He wants you to be fishers of men. He wants you, remember he said he preached the kingdom of God before this. The kingdom of God is equal to the kingdom of healthy relationships. He wants to heal people. Yet, he contrasts it with the serpent. God wants to heal your relationships. He wants you to accomplish amazing things. Satan talks about it. Remember, he offered Jesus the kingdoms of the world, but it was deceitful. The serpent is deceitful and poisonous. If you look back to the beginning, and we don't have time, but in Genesis chapter 3, it said about him tempting Eve that the serpent was more cunning. He lured Eve and tricked her to say that God was the evil one. He didn't want her to be smart. He wanted to keep her down. He was holding her back. He says, "You can excel without him." So she jumped on it and took it. And then we found out instead she got death, shame, and a curse. Empty promises. I have great things for you. I've proven it. Satan brings you empty promises. He's deceitful. So the next one we have, he contrasts an egg with a scorpion. Anybody here ever seen a scorpion in person? I have. They're not fun little creatures. They're manipulative. Depending on what size of thing they're attacking, if it's too big, they'll just sting you right away. If it's small, they'll use their claws, play with it, trick it, torture it, and then finally put it out of its misery. If you go back to the chapter in Luke 10, the previous chapter, he talks about how Jesus says, "I have given you power over serpents and scorpions." Scorpions represent kind of like Satan's dominions, his demonic hordes. He says, "I've given you power over those." But if you look in Revelation, it says that they have power on earth and that their job is to sting and to harm. God says, "I've given you victory over that." But people will choose to follow this under deceitfulness. He says, I want to give you egg. That's kind of like a symbol of life. There's life in there. That's what I came to give you. I came to give you life. You know, God has a vested interest in us. He cares about us. He sent his son to die for us. And he gives good things to us. He's a real friend. He doesn't tempt us with stones like Satan did. He helps us accomplish great things. And he doesn't deceive or try to poison us. And he gives us power to do that. And he doesn't harm us. Everything he does for us is for our good. So what does God want for us? We look in verse 13, it says that his best gift to offer, it says, is the Father, your Heavenly Father, will give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. The best gift is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Why is this? Well, he does a lot of things. It says in the Bible that he gives us eternal life. And John 14, it says that he's our helper. Gives us assurance. He bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Gives us companionship. Teaches us truth. Helps us understand our Bible study. He teaches us all things. He helps us remember what Jesus said. He gives us spiritual thinking. He also gives us lots of fruit, doesn't he? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And these are all traits that occur in a healthy relationship. That's how God provides that for us, that relationship, healthiness. And just as God the Father and God the Son are our friends, the Holy Spirit's also our friend. He does these things willingly because he loves and cares about us. So, one of the things he does is he leads us, right? He leads us by doing those things. He teaches us. As I said, he gives us that wisdom so we know how to understand his word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He helps us to see that light. He helps us. How many here, we have strong views on certain issues, don't we? Have you seen what the Bible says about those issues? Have you studied that? We say that the Bible is good for all faith and practice. Do we really mean that? Is the side you take on an issue what God believes about that issue? Or is it what you think about that issue? Well, that's one of the reasons we study the Bible. So we can go, you know, I used to feel that way, but the Bible says, so I'm going to choose to follow the Bible. So I had to change my opinion. Anybody here ever have to do that? That can be humbling, right? You have to be humble to be willing to do that. But he also helps us mature. Something Fred talked about very well in the few minutes that he had. He did a very good job of that. But he helps us mature. Now, this chapter, as I said, is framed in a family setting. It includes God the Father and us, his children. As parents, we often see our children ask for silly things. In my case, it was a Stretch Armstrong. Even though I didn't get it, it was a Stretch Armstrong. I asked for other silly things, believe me. When they're harmful, we say no, even though our children think it's good for them and they want it. My grandson was at church, and they were saying for around Easter, and they said, Jesus is going to transform us. He said, he's going to transform me into a ninja. Now, is my grandson ever going to be a ninja? I sure hope not, probably not, right? But he's asking for a silly thing. He's 5 years old. But the whole thing is we train our children to hopefully, as they mature, to ask for wiser things. I understand as adults we still ask for foolish things sometimes, but hopefully we ask for less foolish things. And that's what God's trying to do here, is to teach us how to ask for wiser things. You know, he said, the disciples had that problem. He said in Matthew 20:22, but Jesus answered and said on their request, you do not know what you ask. You can't handle that. James 4, 2 and 3, it says, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war. Yet you do not have because you do not ask properly. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures instead of God's. It's good for God. You know, sometimes we ask for good things, but it's not the best thing, and he says no. We see this with Paul. He wanted to go preach the gospel in Asia, it says in Acts 16. And the Holy Spirit said, no, I want you to go to Macedonia instead. I appreciate that you want to go preach the gospel, but I really need you to go preach it over here. You're going to have more success. So what wise things can we ask for? Seek through Bible study and learn to fellowship with God about. Well, wisdom. It says in James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally. His will. No, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition we ask of him. Obedience. Whatever we ask from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight, he hears us. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. So, in closing, we need to ask. Talk to God. Tell him how you feel. Be honest with him. If you look at the Psalms, the psalm writers were honest with him. Even when they were angry with God, they told him the truth. God already knows you're angry. Just be honest with it, because then he goes, okay, now that you're honest, we can deal with it. I'll show you how to deal with it. And oftentimes you see when they were angry, he gave them the answer before the end of the psalm. I doubt it happened that fast. But they looked through the scriptures, they sought, God answered. And then when they thought about what he had to say, God, you said, and then he showed them. So that needs to be our goal. Talk to God, study the Bible, and think about it, and let God use the Holy Spirit to guide you. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for your goodness and mercy. Lord, we just pray that you would help us to grow closer to you, that you would teach us to talk with you, that you would teach us to study your word, and that you would show us how to meditate it on and be patient while we wait for your answer. And we pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. Everyone please stand.